When was the last time you said the name of the person you grew your food? Today, Dana shows us why farmers matter to every meal in our community and what we can do about it starting this week. Now, before we start, tap, follow, and subscribe and leave a five-star review so more people can find practical, purpose-driven conversations. Now, welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, where insight becomes action. By the end of this episode, you're going to know why farmers are a hidden backbone of the daily lives of each of us and how to reconnect even when you live in a city or a big shopping box, and five simple actions you can take to support the people who feed us. Dana, I am so happy to have you on the show. Welcome. Please say hello and give us a one-liner on farmers' movement.
Excellent. Stacey, thanks so much for having me. The Four Farmers Movement really shares stories about small and mid-sized farmers, dispels myths, and provides support in the form of grants, fulfilling wish lists, and providing opportunities for people who are concerned about what they're eating to get involved and to support these really important members of our society so that we so that they're not disappearing, which they are.
Now, for someone who has never thought about it, why are farmers, why should we care about farmers? Why are they so important in today's lives?
It's funny. I started talking with farmers back in 2019, and they're the most interesting, funny, ingenious solutions, hardworking, and I realized that they were really invisible, that most of society wasn't seeing farmers for who they were, and it really bothered me. And so I created the Four Farmers Movement to really make sure that we could support them. They are the people who are giving us our food 3 days, 3 meals every day,
Right.
365 days a year. We are connected by what we eat. It's how we celebrate with our families. It's how we nourish our children. It's just such an important part. And I think, people don't wake up every day saying, "Oh, well, let me figure out how to support my farmer." But they are concerned about their health. They are concerned about their communities, their environment, and their economy. And
Yeah.
farmers are at the center of all of that.
It's funny you say that because people don't really talk about the farmers. They don't really put emphasis on the farmers. But when there's a shortage and you go to the food store and then you can't you, there's there's no eggs on the shelf, or they can't find specific types of foods that farmers would raise. All of a sudden, people get chaotic and they get nervous and what's happening? What's going on? But people really have to put emphasis in, and I think really appreciate what farmers do because they're the core front of our society. We need food to survive. We need good food to survive. Everything we put in our mouths, affects our body. If we don't put good, healthy food in our body, then it's going to affect our health. And it's the farmers who raise those healthy foods. It's them who are caring for the farm, for the animals, for making sure that everything is done a specific way so we get healthy foods. And I think people sometimes take that for granted.
I think you're right. It's a little bit like in your house. You go and you turn on the water out of the faucet and you wash your hands and then you go about your business, you wash your dishes, you wash your laundry, and then all of a sudden your water doesn't come on. It's a huge problem, right? And I think you don't think about, you're not sitting around being grateful for that running water every single day. You take it for granted. And it's much like that with our farmers. And there are, farmers are about 1 to 2% of our population, and the other 98% are relying on that small part of our population in order to eat healthy food. It's
I
something
didn't realize.
we really need to be aware of how reliant we are. And when, people talk about farmers are aging, right? We need young farmers to come into the fold. We need them to care for the land that's farmland. We don't need another strip mall. What we need is, continuing farmland. And we need farmers who, Don't look at the profession and say, oh my gosh, there's no way. There's no way I could do that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that's a
I agree.
crisis for sure.
There, I've noticed that when you said the, we don't need another strip mall, the first thing that came to my head and I wanted to say is that a lot of the farmlands around here, there was just a recently there was a town that was arguing and trying to stop because they wanted to build condominiums and they wanted to chop down the trees, they wanted to buy out, certain parts of the farm, and they wanted to put condominiums. Meanwhile, the animals had nowhere to go. And they were finding animals in the middle of the street roaming, because they start, they fought and they fought and they lost the fight. And when they started to do that, immediately the animals that were in the forest, the animals, that were part of that farm, but now, the trees were chopped down, they had nowhere to go. So then you found them in all different areas. Some of them died because they carelessly walked in the middle of the street, but how are they supposed to know? And you see stuff like that, and it bothers me because we need the trees, we need the oxygen, we need a place for the animals to live. And it's upsetting. It really is.
In the last period, 5-year period that we have data for, from between 2017 and 2022, we lost 141, thousand farms and over 20 million acres of farmland. So,
Wow.
that's a really stark number. Bankruptcies for small farms are through the roof in the first quarter of 2025. So,
Yes.
It's not something that people pay attention to and pay attention to until there's a crisis. And
Yeah.
I think that we are, really headed for a food crisis. Absolutely. I don't know. A crisis shouldn't be the reason that we're starting to care, because
Yeah.
even if you're not thinking about the actual farmer on a day-to-day basis, all of the elements that they're perpetuating. Again, like your health and your environment and your local and regional economies, they
Yeah.
have such an important role in your community. So that's a really important part of it. I think that people want to do something that's going to help their communities, right? They want to make a difference. And part
Yes.
of what we do at the Four Farmers Movement is we give people opportunities to do that. We're in the middle of a grant cycle right now. The way those grants start is that regular people nominate their local farmers for a grant. So they say, "Hey, Farmer Joe, I see you. I adore your vegetables. I adore your goat milk, cheese, and I want to nominate you for a grant." And those farmers then apply, and we have a really interesting panel of farmers and non-farmers from across the country. And we evaluate those grants. And this year, we will add 100 new farms to the roster. We currently have 190 farms in
Yeah.
46 states. So we're national. We get nominations from all 50 states every single time. And we have over 1,100 nominations so far. So,
Wow.
yeah, it's pretty exciting, but it's a great way to get involved. It pulls you closer to your farmer. And so that's one way. We try to give people easy ways to support their farmers. You can donate to a farmer grant. And the spirit of the Four Farmers Movement is not, "Hey, Stacy, do you have $1 million? Do you have $10,000? How about 5,000? That would really be great. Otherwise, you can't really make a difference." That's not what we're about.
Yeah.
The spirit of the Four Farmers Movement is that $1 from 1 million people is actually way more valuable than $1 million from one person. And so we have a One for Farmers campaign where you can donate $1, and then that dollar goes together with other dollars, and you're together out there in that farmer's field. And they really feel it. I think that's one of the components that when they're awarded a grant, they're like, "Hey, this isn't a corporate grant. This isn't,
Yeah.
this isn't the USDA and all the paperwork that I had to do. This was, I told my story. I said what I needed. I said how much it would cost. And now I have 1,000 people standing in this field with me who believe in me." who voted with their own dollar to say, you know what? What you're doing is great. Those fresh eggs that are brown and blue and green are really valuable to me and to my family. So that's one way. And then we've invited farmers from across the country to create wish lists. So you can just step onto their farmer wish list and help them out. You can get them some work gloves. You can get them a feeder bucket. You can get them bucket warmers for the winter. And farmers do it all differently. It's a really interesting way to see what a farm is all about. There were these, this one farmer, I was looking at her list and I was like, there are these little saddles for chickens. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And I had to dig further because apparently, when you have a rooster and it mates the chickens, it scratches off their feathers. And so they become vulnerable. So they have these little protectors. So if you have an egg laying flock, they're essential. But those are the kinds of things you can learn just from, looking at a farmer's list. They can be funny, but can also be other practical things like an electric, solar fencer, or another roll of electric fencing so that you can expand your rotational grazing or any kinds of things. Sometimes it's we had a farm that was in Maryland, had a tragic fire that burnt their barn and all of their equipment. They put together a wish list. It was actually shocking. It was mostly screws because they got to start building again and they're going to, repurpose whatever wood that they have. They needed a measuring tape. They needed a level. I think Four Farmers Movement took care of all of those items. It's sort of, in the category of the it's the least we can do, and it's super practical. So grants, donating $1 to the One for Farmers campaign, checking out the wish lists, and just like, you're in your Amazon account, you just send one little item over to a farm near you. You can search by state. So all of that is really important. And I think the other piece is just expanding awareness, right? Even as I, think about all of the issues, I'm always thinking of ways to help people open their eyes a little bit. So if you're not shopping with a local farmer where your food ingredients are coming from 50 miles away, they're probably coming from 1500 miles each ingredient. So what does that mean? I mean, that's truckers. That's 3 days. It's more than 200 gallons of diesel fuel and probably two or three overnights in a truck stop. Now, truckers are invaluable to us as well, but if your food can come from more local, it's going to be healthier and it's going to be better for the environment.
100%, 100%. Now, how do farmers actually impact daily life beyond food? Like, think local jobs, land stewardship, community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, there's always this little pain point people like to talk about with beef and emissions. And most of those emissions are coming from what they call concentrated animal feeding operations, which are, a CAFO, which is where cattle leave a ranch all over the country and they go to one, big location where they're fed grain. And those have no grass. They have a lot of cows in a very concentrated area, so there's a lot of manure and what have you. But when you have a cow on a smaller farm, right? Or, you have 100 head of cattle on grazing on pasture, those cattle are sequestering carbon. That's something that we want. So there's a lot of really interesting roles that farms are playing. Sequestering carbon is one of them. Putting nutrients back into the soil in various ways. Cover cropping is very popular. And, obviously the health of the, if you have a choice, if I put a pepper in front of you that grew in soil that was, full of pesticides and herbicides and synthetic fertilizers, or I put a pepper in front of you that wasn't, I think I know what your choice would be. Right. So we don't want hidden costs in our health. We just don't want them. And when the rubber hits the road on, there's a pandemic or Oh gosh, tariff wars or whatever that are really making farmers struggle and disrupting the supply chain. You want farmers near you. You want them near you because it's part of security. And, in all of the, I hate to even bring up, but in wartime, the war in Ukraine, you know who they hit first? Farmers. They killed farmers because a country without food is not secure. So, listen. It just underscores the role that farmers play and how important they are. And the farmer close to you is way more valuable than that farmer all the way across the world or all the way across the country. And they're an ecosystem. When you support one farmer here, they thrive. And that really matters five states over. It really does. Because when farmers start falling, there's like a real domino effect, and we want to keep them going.
Oh, 100%. Now, what does the real cost of food mean for families who are budget conscious? How do we talk about the value without guilt?
Well, everybody has to make their own decisions. There are a lot of ways to stretch your dollar at a farmer's market. When you buy food in season, it's a lot cheaper than buying, if you're buying blueberries in season where they're plentiful, it's a lot cheaper than buying them in January. And guess what? Easy, you can freeze them. You don't even have to be good at anything. You don't have to can, you don't have to be a homesteader. You can just freeze those blueberries and you can have fresh, delicious blueberries in January that are cheaper. Also, when you buy in bulk at a farmer's market, that can save you money. And then you just have to be smarter, than we are. We have a lot of health problems in the United States. A lot of them are because we are eating processed foods and foods that are, that aren't clean and aren't good for us. So, you go to the supermarket, you can't really ask about how that spinach, was raised. What was done to it. And even, some of the spinach some of it's grown indoors. So it's grown in a substrate, not even in a soil. Soil is the food for the plant. And I'm sure that I could survive on the vitamins and the calories that are in those Ensure beverages. You know what I'm saying? Like the nutrition is in there, but I'm not going to be healthy. It's not like eating fruits and vegetables and having, chicken and rice and spinach for dinner. So, vegetables are the same way. So when you go to the farmer's market or go, visit a farm, or even if you're shopping online with a farm, that may not, maybe there's no pastured pork in your community, but you can get some a little bit further afield by shopping online with them, and you can have a conversation and a relationship. You can get recipes. And then you can get to know them, and they're just like delightful and fun.
I love that. Now, if the average listener changed just one buying habit, which one would make the biggest difference?
Well, I like this one the best. What if you don't spend any more money out of your food budget? Not a penny more, but you just take $20 and shift it over. Take $20 that you spend at the supermarket on whatever that's processed or not, or comes from 1500 miles away or not. You just take $20 and you go to the supermarket, and you go to the farmer's market with it, and you spend that $20 at the farmer's market. Now, maybe you're going to pick the same farmer every week to do that with. Okay, you have a relationship with them, you understand their food, and those farmers are earning more. In their local community, they earn 67% of a dollar at the farmer's market, but only 15 cents on the dollar out of the supermarket. That money in your own community circulates seven times in your community. The minute you shop in that, supermarket chain, it's gone. It's gone from your community.
That's insane. That's
For
insane.
$20, don't spend any more money. Stop complaining about, oh, it's more expensive if you buy it from a local farmer. I don't believe it. I think that, there are a lot of hidden costs in our food, but you just take that $20 and shift it over. It makes a big difference. You can also donate a dollar to farmer grants. If we have a million people who each donate $1, imagine what we could do in terms of propping up these farmers. These are not farmers who are getting subsidies. These are small farmers, and we're not looking to help them in any way that is unsustainable. We're saying, okay, what's next on your farm? What kind of challenge did you have last year that a little bit of money would help you overcome, that would help you move forward? An idea. Oh, please, you can just get a farmer started on the idea of what they could do. I'll tell you, we gave a farm in New Jersey a $500 grant, and they bought a fork for the front of their tractor. They use it every single day. They lift things, they move things. And they were really struggling to move their chicken tractors because they have their chickens on grass. Because chickens eat bugs, and they could be scratching around the grass having a good chicken life, and they were breaking down their chicken tractors the way they were doing it. And small farmers do this. This is like totally normal. You don't have money to buy all the equipment, so you do your own kind of engineering on it. It's not always easy. It's causing a lot of tears and a lot of fights. And the fork really made a huge difference. And that is a piece of equipment that will live on and on and on. So it's simple. It's what farmers need. And it's just a, and then you get to be part of their community. You're part of their success. And that's really rewarding for both sides.
I love that. I love that. Now, if you were to live in an apartment and shop at a big retailer, how do you start building a farmer's connection without changing my whole routine?
Sometimes you have to have a little sacrifice. It's not always as convenient to go to a farmer's market as it is to go to the supermarket. But you can work with, you can have a friend who maybe you trade off. Maybe you go together and make it social. Maybe you go every 2 weeks and she goes every 2 weeks. There's a lot of ways to collaborate. It's where there's a will, there's a way. Oh, when you're going to the market, could you, I'm only going to get my meat from a local farmer from now on because I'm really concerned about what's in the supermarket. It looks kind of fluorescent. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's healthy, in that it's inspected and all of that, but I just don't know how it was raised and how it was finished. And that's my value. So while I can go to my supermarket and buy organic vegetables, and I'm okay with the fact that they come from California, I'm not okay with not knowing about the meat that I'm serving my children. And so you just have to like figure out what is important to you. I have a local food challenge as part of the Four Farmers movement, and I one of my favorite activities. It's a 12-month challenge. There's a little prompt every month, and one of my favorite activities is just this. And it's great to get your kids to do this. It's just you go and open your refrigerator, yellow piece of paper, and check out what's local and what's not local. Like, see if you can figure out, do it tonight. See if you can figure out where some of this stuff is from. Because I did it and I was shocked that I was like, okay, I can do a lot better. What's one item in my refrigerator that I could get locally? Why don't we just start there? And again, I could partner with my friend and do that. The other thing that I think is really fun, and this is another awareness, is like, what's your favorite thing to cook? Like, do you make lasagna or like a beef stew? Just pick anything that you love to cook. And when you make it, just look at, well, maybe you're looking at your box of pasta. Where did it come from? Where was it packaged? Try to get a general idea. Where did the garlic come from? I don't know if you know this, but Arizona is the winter capital of lettuce. So if you're having a salad
Oh,
in
really?
the winter, most likely you're getting it from Arizona. So add up the miles. I had beef that was from a local farm. It was from 35 miles away. My garlic was from my own garden, and still my beef stew was 17,000 miles. It was shocking. Yes, it was really eye-opening, but it's really fun, and it's fun to do with kids. And it's like, okay, fam, how do we do better?
I love that. Now, labels can be confusing. Like, what are some, like, maybe like three labels or phrases to understand, and how should a shopper use them?
Oh my gosh, labels are so confusing, especially on egg cartons. They just
Yes.
don't mean a whole lot.
Oh.
Would say, there are very few certifications. There's
Yeah.
USDA organic certification, and
Yeah.
it's pretty rigorous. I mean, farms, they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of boxes they have to check off, and they're real. So it's
Yeah.
something that you can trust.
Yeah.
There are a lot of farmers at the farmers market who are like, we practice organic, but we're not certified because of the paperwork that
Yeah.
is very time consuming and because
Right.
it's expensive for them to do it. Like I said,
Yeah.
they're close to the margin. So, you can sort of get either, you can get the same thing as long as you're having a good conversation with your farmers. There's real organic, and there are all kinds of real organic really cares also about the employees. So
Yeah.
the labor force, and if that's part of your value system, then you want to look for the real organic. I think
Right.
one thing that you want to be aware of is that there are a lot of companies now using the word regenerative, and there are no standards for that.
Yes.
So when you're looking at like a big brand and they say they're regenerative, I would get one of your eyebrows to go up. Talking to a small farmer, and they're like, okay, so we have regenerative practices, and here's what this means, how we're replenishing our soil. I think that's something that you can trust. So labels aren't always the be all end all. When we're talking about chickens, cage free means they're not in individual cages, but that also means that they're usually in a very big, barn with, 200,000 chickens. Sometimes they're given access to the outside through a little door, but chickens are chicken, right? Like they're total scaredy cats, and they're not going through that chicken door just because it's there. They just stay together with the flock. That's how it works. So a lot of the labels are misleading. You want to look at the certifications. It's pretty easy to look up what the requirements are online when you see, if you see organic, it's already not GMO. I think people don't really understand GMO either. The number one thing about GMO is not so much the modification, because we have hybrids. We want pink roses. We've got the red and the white ones we make, We've been tinkering with that kind of thing forever. And you want a bigger cow, you get a bigger bull to mate with your calf, right? Right. Okay. So we do this. But with GMO, it's really altering one genetic factor so that that seed, let's call it a corn seed, can withstand all of the pesticides and all of the herbicides, including some that are cancer causing. So it's not so much the seed itself as it is the treatment of that seed. So when you see that something is not, it's not non-GMO, and it can, be a GMO seed, it's not just that. It is what is going on to your food in the field. And it's not something that we have to, it's, I mean, it's a whole other conversation, but it's not a way that we have to farm. It's a way that we are farming. And a transition away from having GMO is not impossible, but it's not easy either. It takes time, and it takes money, but it can happen. I know a lot of farmers in Indiana and in North Dakota and in Georgia who have gone from totally industrial farms to very, very high producing non-industrial farms where they don't have GMO anymore, really taking care of their land, which we want, right? This is this is
Oh,
this is our
100%.
Our beautiful country. We want to make sure that, that the land is cared for.
We had a conversation with my family members, like, and some of them were just oblivious to, like, healthy and or organic food versus our industrial food. And when I brought up the eggs, like, for example, they were just totally oblivious, said, oh, they're all the same and blah 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 blah. And we went back and forth for a few seconds, and I was like, I gave up, it was just But it's like it makes such a difference. That's why you see young girls at the age of 8 years old starting to menstruate and they're starting to develop breasts. It's because of the hormones. And then if, I remember a long time I read a book called Vegan versus Vegetarian, and it wasn't about becoming vegan or vegetarian. They wanted to show what these industrial farms were doing, to the animals, that people weren't aware of. And when you read it, you were like, oh my goodness, how they just smushed all the chickens together, how they just smushed all the cows together. If one cow got sick, they put antibiotics in all the cows, and the hormones that they use to get bigger eggs and more plumper eggs. So when you see these extra large eggs in the store, and then, like you said, the labeling, it's like they, no added hormones, so it doesn't mean there's no hormones in it. It just means they didn't add any extra hormones. But people, a lot of people are being more educated now, but a lot of people are still a little oblivious, to it,
And
unfortunately.
there are a lot of myths around the hormones and around all of it, just the labels. So it's important, I think, to just really find a couple that you trust, that you for, whether it's the non-GMO certified or USDA organic, which is automatically not no GMO. And other than that, just talk to your local farmer. Like, how is this raised? What do you do? Do you use hormones? I mean, you're not allowed to use hormones with chickens, but you are allowed to use them in, with other animals. So, yeah, it's a, it pays to be informed, but again, the shortcuts are relying on some of those certifications.
Yes, 100%. Now, can you explain what CSA in 1 minute, why it matters and who it's best for?
Sure. Well, right now we're in harvest season, right? So imagine your farmers out there picking all of their vegetables, and then we're gonna have, we're gonna have snow and frost. And I know in Michigan we've already had our frosts and what have you, right? So winter is, for most farmers is a very quiet season, and it's when they, from there until spring, they're relying on the funds that they got that previous year. CSA is a community supported agriculture, and it gives the consumer an opportunity to buy in to a farm in advance. So you pay the farmer uses that money as seed money to go out and literally buy the seeds for the next season. So while they're in a trough in terms of their finances, they're getting a little boost. They're able to buy what they need for the next season, and they already have a predictor of their consumers, right? Last year we had 70 CSA customers. This year we know we're going to have 85, so we need to scale up. And then when the harvest comes around, even the early harvest like asparagus, and all the way to the later harvest like the collard greens, you're getting vegetables in your farm box. And you get to pick it up. You have a relationship with your farmer. Often the CSA farmers are sharing lots of tips on storage, on how to, how to cook things, how to enjoy them differently. So it's got a lot of value. But the main value is that you, as a consumer, are taking an action that's going to benefit you later to help your farmer have predictability in their business and to have them have that support. In a dry, in a little dip there in the winter.
It's so important. Now, what's your favorite food waste fixes that save money and still respect the farmer's work?
I'm sorry, can you say it again?
Sure. So,
Yep.
what's your favorite food waste fixes that save money and still respect the farmer's work?
It, food waste? Oh, wow. Sorry, I couldn't hear that part. So food waste is a big issue. We have, 40% of our food is wasted. 40%? Imagine. Well, I mean, that in and of itself is disrespectful to the farmer, even if they're industrial, right? Like, really? You're just gonna throw it out? I think if you're going to buy in bulk, like we were talking about, like if you're going to buy seasonally and buy your berries during the summer and freeze them in small batches so that you have them throughout the winter, that's going to save you money. You're going to get the best flavor, and you're not going to waste them. So I think, the whole Costco mentality to go, what are you going to do with 40 lemons? I mean, really? Like you're gonna waste them. I mean, unless you're having a lemonade stand for the whole week, that is just not, it's a weird mentality that we've adopted that, like, oh my gosh, this scarcity, or I don't know, does it make us look prosperous to have 40 lemons? I just really don't understand that. So I think we need to back to, I get a farm box every Monday, and my husband's like, "What's for dinner?" I'm like, "I'll tell you when the farm box comes." You get creative with it, and we'll have some crudité and a salad and some sautéed greens, and then I'll make something with rice, and figuring out how to use what you've got to repurpose it with leftovers. It's about being creative and not overpurchasing. I think overpurchasing is probably our biggest problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, for parents in schools, what's the one simple program that connects kids to farmers this semester?
Well, my favorite, and this is for anyone, anywhere, is to grow some herbs in your windowsill.
Oh, I like that idea.
It's really fun. You get some seeds, you take care of them. You can grow microgreens, or any kind of herb. Imagine growing your own basil, and then when it's pasta night, you have a little snip, 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 and it goes on top. And I think that's really important for kids because, I mean, I have a big garden. I have really, smart people come and visit me at my farm, and they come in and I'm like, go ahead and pull that. They're like, oh, is it a weed? I'm like, yeah, go ahead and pull it. And they pull it, and the carrot comes out, and they absolutely, I mean, college educated, and they're like, oh, I had no idea that's how a carrot. I mean, I'm like, it's really very exciting. So for anyone to like nurture and grow something, just to understand too, like maybe you go on vacation and it dies. I mean, you have to think about this. Farmers are 24/7, 365 days a year, and they are not letting your basil die. They are taking care of that whether they would prefer to be on vacation or not. So I think that's a it's a really good eye opener for kids and for their parents.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, how do stories, photos, names, farm visits actually change the behavior of people?
Well, if life is personal, it's much more real. So if you can't, I mean, I've got plenty of friends who are like, well, Dana, I don't know a farmer. I'm like, okay, well, we can change that. And I have other folks who are like, well, I want to get involved in the Four Farmers Movement. This is like such a good idea. So important. My food and my health are so important to me, but I don't know a local farmer. I was like, give me your zip code. I will find you one. And this one woman, oh, she's amazing. In LA, she's like, we're, weirdly in a bit of a food desert, right? Like we're in this big city and I cannot find grass-fed meat near me, pastured pork or pastured beef. And I found a farmer for her as close as possible as I could get to her zip code. And she entered into an online shopping relationship with this farm. And she sent me a message with the note that the farmer sent her. Thank you so much. This means so much to us. We're so happy you're our customer. We put in something extra in the package because we're very grateful that you're our customer, and please let me know if you have any questions about. I mean, it was just on and on, and it was the sweetest handwritten note. So it's personal. Your health is personal. Your community is personal. You want your environment. You want to walk out the door and be able to, go and walk on a beautiful, in a beautiful path or go in the woods. You want to have a personal relationship with nature. And farms are a great way to start. If it isn't personal, it's just not as rewarding.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. And that's amazing that you were able to find an actual farm, in that area. But it shows you how appreciative they are because it, you know, because I was very surprised when you said 1 to 2% are farmers, and and the rest is industrial, and I was shocked. I didn't realize the percentage was that low,
We
and
all
it's
rely on them. I mean, obviously, farmers are relying on themselves for food too, but 88% of us who are not farming are reliant on this very small and dwindling population that we need to make sure they're not disappearing. We need to gird them. We need to show them that we appreciate them. And
100%.
if you can do it by shopping on a little wish list, or contributing to a grant or nominating a farmer, every single farmer across the board, they're like, this means so much more than the money. It means so much more than the money because it's personal and it's connected and it's somebody who sees them and values them. And, that is really motivating.
Oh yeah. 100%. Now, if a grocery manager is listening, what could they implement this month that helps farmers and shoppers?
Well, I'm afraid that a lot of grocery store managers are beholden to sort of orders from bigger corporations. But there are grocery stores that have local sections. Absolutely. They may have a cold section for dairy. And I think that that's something that they can offer. And their customers will really love it, especially if it's featured, because we have pride. We have a lot of pride in our local environment, right? Like we have, oh, this farmer is from here. Well, so why not have a small section and promote it? Like, really let people know, hey, did you know we've got these local farmers? It will take off.
Yes, it will, 100%.
And
Now,
maybe
what?
it sets them apart, from the other grocery store
Yeah,
that doesn't have
definitely.
that. Like this is we care about, I mean, this is where we turn for our soccer leagues, right? And our baseball little league teams, we're like, can we sponsor our team? It may be a big chain, but it's where we go because it's in our community and it's important to us. So when that grocery store manager is saying like, oh, excellent, I have a local section, that it underscores that connection with the community.
And a lot of times you can find foods that you can't find really in the stores. Like I remember I went to a farmer's market and they had little chips of bee honey, and they had dried it out so you could put it in your tea, and it was it, and it's very healthy for you. And it was really it's amazing, the different things that they create and that they sell that are so much healthier for the body that you can't find in food stores. You definitely can't find in food stores.
Yeah, well, they say that local honey, those bees are shopping around in all of those flowers with the local pollen that's making you sneeze. So it's a little bit like an inoculation. When you're eating that honey with the local pollen, it's supposed to help seasonal allergies. So that's another benefit besides being yummy.
And that's good to know. What does vote with your wallet look like without making people feel overwhelmed?
I think it's so easy. It's just, the opportunity to go into your local community and shop locally. Again, that dollar that you spend at your farmers market is circulating 7 times in your community. 67% or higher of that dollar stays with that local farmer versus 15 cents on the dollar in the supermarket. So it's sort of like you're paying yourself. You're investing in your local community, and that money is coming back to support all the things you care about. Your little league
100%.
team, your local cobbler, your baker, your local mechanic that you need. If that local mechanic's not there, where are you going to go? So this is all a big cycle of what's happening. When we say shop small, we include small farmers in that.
Oh, 100%. Now, Dana, listeners were promised 5 concrete actions. Would you please share 5 things that they could do this week to support farms and farmers and the communities around them?
Absolutely. Well, through the For Farmers movement, you can donate $1, be one in a million, and support farmers with $1. It's 100% of what we get goes to farmers. One $1 at a time through grants. Those are direct. You can shop on a farmer's wish list. You can do the local food challenge just by opening your refrigerator and seeing what's local, and then figuring out one item in your refrigerator that you can replace with a local item. You can take $20 of your budget and just shift it out of your supermarket and into your farmer's market on a regular basis, because that regular support of your farmers is really meaningful to them because it's sustainable. It's not for a special event, it's on a weekly basis, and you can share that, and you can share that with a friend. You can listen to the One Bite Is Everything podcast. Talks more about what's going on behind the scenes. So everything on your plate is connected to the bigger world. And I think having the opportunity to really connect that, it just seems like salad, but it goes way beyond that. That's really important. And you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at XOXO Farm Girl, and I share a lot of facts there. Facts, I bust myths and share the stories of the farmers across the country who are so incredible and really inspiring.
Now, if people want to donate, where can they go to donate?
It's super easy to donate at FOR, farmersmovement.com. And you can find everything that I'm talking about there, from the grants to the key programs that I mentioned. We have other programs throughout the year. And you can make a really easy donation. There's a donate button right on the top. You can also, there's a button that says Meet the Farmers. So you can
Awesome.
see all of the farmers that we've supported, what we supported them for. I mean, these are real things. This is like real life support for farmers, whether it's fencing or equipment, or helping bring baby goats into the world, or a new milking machine for a small dairy farmer.
I love this. Now, is there any other services that we haven't mentioned or anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation?
There's always something to get involved in very easily. I really believe that we are individually very small, but together we're really mighty. And the
Yes.
Four Farmers Movement is built on that premise. And you don't have to participate every single day, but if you participated 4 times a year in some of the different programs, I think all of our small farmers would be better off and they would really feel it. And I think that, there are very few places where this kind of support and this kind of action is really very personal.
Oh, I love this. This has been amazing, Dana. I thank you so much. What you're doing is beautiful, and you're really bringing awareness too. Not only are you making change, positive change in this world, you are actually bringing awareness to our community, so our community understands what's going on. Because I think a lot of times people are clueless when it comes to things like this. But you're bringing awareness. You're taking action, and you're showing others how they could take action and make a positive change. And it's so important, because if 1 to 2 farmers is percent is if it, that's all we have, we really need to step up to the plate and help these farmers. So more farmers could come into play, because if they see other farmers suffering, they're going to be afraid, to go into this field, with any what all these obstacles against them. But if we could all bond together and we could help these farmers, and we can encourage others to, take over, the next generation of farmers and the next generation of farmers, and think what that will do positively to our health, since we are one of the most obese nation and we have the most medical problems. How bringing such quality food into our lives, how much of a big difference that could make in our lives. And I think you're doing a wonderful job, and I have to commend you. You're a wonderful individual. You have a wonderful cause that you're bringing to light to people's lives, and you're doing wonderful things. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being you, and thank you for taking action and being such a great advocate.
Thanks for having me, Stacy. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Oh, same here. You have a great day.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye bye.